Speaking of the National Football League, we've got some guys that are either going to be rising in stock value or falling in stock value as we head into the big draft day, just 27 days away. And I'm going to just go ahead and maybe let you try to pick apart the list. There are only 10.
Okay.
And maybe you'd like to, I mean, there are some obvious ones, but most of them are, quite frankly, not obvious. And I think there probably might be one or two surprises that will pop up on the list that you'll be saying, what? Huh?
Can you start over? I haven't been listening to you for the last 15 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. So let's go down the list here.
Go ahead. We have Jameis Winston. What do you think? Rising or falling?
Obviously, he's the number one overall. Everybody said he's going to be the number one overall draft pick. I can't imagine you can rise any higher than that, nor do I think he's necessarily falling after his pro day because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers like what they see. So I'm going to say equal, not rising or falling. Is that even a possibility? Is that an option that I can guess?
Well, they've got him rising. They've got him rising actually.
I can see that.
I don't know how you could rise any more than he is right now.
He's not falling.
He's definitely checked that box for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because his pro day, that session, he completed 91 of 102 passes, and five of those were dropped by the receivers, mm-hmm. just drops. Mm-hmm. But they really like everything about it. The touch that he has on the football, something that you can only find in an NFL game day experience. That's about as big a compliment as you can pay him. We have another quarterback on this list. I don't know if you've heard that much about this kid, but he's rising in stock. How about Garrett Grayson from Colorado
Garrett
State?
Garrett Grayson, he's rising in stock. He is flying up the draft boards. Never heard of him.
There you go. Grayson had an impressive showing at the Senior Bowl, though.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Yeah, he did.
Is he a possibility, any a chance on where he would be taking in the draft? Because the Minnesota Vikings and head coach Mike Zimmer has gone on record saying that they would like to take a draft, or they'd like to take a quarterback in the later rounds of the draft. They don't have a sixth-round draft pick. They have 2 7th-rounders. I don't know that they necessarily need to take a quarterback any higher than that. I mean, they just signed Mike Kafka yesterday. They released Pat Devlin today. They have Sean Hill as the backup. If I was part of the front office for the Minnesota Vikings, I don't think I'd take a quarterback higher than the sixth round.
They're talking about this kid everywhere on NFL Network and everything. I didn't really see him as being the kind of guy who's going to be talked about as a rising, you know, one of those rising stars coming up on draft day. I wouldn't put that against, you know, obviously Winston or Mariota, but sure. They claim he's going to go, and he's going to go a lot higher than people thought he was when he came off that senior day performance. Mm. We got a running back from Boise State.
Oh, let's get him.
Boise State, and his rising body type and everything about him reminds everybody apparently that has this article, they have him looking very much like Marshawn Lynch. And running much like Marshawn Lynch. Now, here's what I have trouble with. Is pronouncing the guy's last name, Jay, and then it's, I think, a J-E, because it's A-J-A-Y-I. So the first name is J-A-J-E, okay?
Okay.
I have no idea how to pronounce that last name, but he's from Boise State. And, I mean, he sure looks it, but those are the kinds of people they're talking about right now.
Third or fourth round draft pick, and I mock drafts have had the Minnesota Vikings interested in that guy if they don't take a running back in the first or second round. So you better learn how to say his name because he could be a Minnesota Viking.
I'm telling you what, the body type is similar to Marshawn Lynch.
That is a man beast. Yeah. Half man, half beast.
I totally agree.
Him if that's the case.
Have you heard of Tyler Lockett?
Tyler Lockett? No.
The wide receiver kick returner.
Oh.
From Kansas State.
Let me guess.
Rising. Yeah. Rising in stock. You know, you only hear about the top three guys normally, but this is a deep draft for wide receivers. He ran a 4.4. 40-yard dash. He's only 5 feet 10, 180 pounds, though, so he's tiny. What was Percy Harvin?
Just a wee baby. About the same.
Yeah. How about Devin Funchess?
Devin Funchess. I would say he sounds, his last name alone makes him sound like he's a douchebag. So I'm going to say he's falling.
He's rising.
Oh, of course.
He's rising from Michigan.
Are they all rising, for God's sake?
No, they're not. Okay. He's a tight end wide receiver.
What?
And he's a pretty good-looking young
Jimmy
man.
Jimmy Graham.
Big dude, man. 6'4", ran a 4.4.
Wow.
And we know what Williams ran, Max Williams ran. I think like a 4.7. This guy, wide receiver, tight end, kind of a hybrid between the two, but 6'4". He ran a 4.47. That's blazing for a guy that size. And we talk about Vic Beasley from Clemson.
Oh,
I mean, they,
God,
they consider
rising.
Him like one of the top guys.
He is
and
on
rising.
Fire right now.
He can do anything, though.
What's a Leo pass rusher?
A Leo pass rusher?
Dane Brugler calls Vic Beasley. The Falcons have been active adding front seven defenders via free agency, but that won't stop Atlanta from targeting a Leo pass rusher at this pick. Leo. Left end, maybe?
I have no left outside linebacker, perhaps, because he can line up at outside linebacker.
Former tight end. He has the athleticism to run circles around offensive tackles.
He's a monster. He's an absolute
Clemson
monster.
Tiger, everybody. Go roar.
There's just this one more guy.
One more.
Trey Waynes.
Oh, he is rising like you've never seen before in your life.
Rising, of
course.
He's
rising like your dog's red rocket.
Uh-huh. And it's been rising lately. He's just one of those guys, just a 4.31 40-yard dash.
I'm worried, as a Minnesota Vikings fan, that Trey Waynes will not be there at number 11.
He'll be up ahead of us, yep.
I am seeing mock drafts. Obviously, mock drafts, you have no idea. But when these players start to rise, and this is the last month where when they rise, I mean, they're not going back down because the draft isn't just over 4 weeks away. I've seen him go as high as number 8 to the Atlanta Falcons.
I could see that. The only thing he did wrong at combines was he cramped up in the cones and the skill positions. So he ran it back at Pro Day, and what he ran for Pro Day at Michigan State was good enough that would have put him in the top five at his position for combine. So he came back and redeemed himself in a big way. Here's a name, though. You know this guy, Landon Collins from Alabama.
Landon Collins, Alabama. Safety. He is a safety, and he is dropping.
He's dropping. I can't imagine his stock is dropping, but
he just doesn't have that. I mean, he's not one of those guys. I mean, he's very talented, but he's not one of those shutdown safeties that you see necessarily.
Yep. That's what it is.
When it comes to coverage, too, I think he has some problems.
That's the fallback. That's the fallback is, you know, his ability to recover, his ability to stay with people. He's more of a downhill player. You know, he comes up on the run and he collapses the run.
I'm trying to think here.
I mean, he's an attacker. He's a tackler.
Dane Brugler has him falling out. Dane Brugler is our NFL draft, senior draft analyst for CBS Sports and NFL Draft Scout. Doesn't even have him going in the first round in his latest mock draft as of Monday.
It's all about speed, recovery speed. Just it's not ideal for a safety in this league now because it's a passing game. Some people see him as Cam Chancellor. Other people, not so much.
Do we even need a safety? I mean, the way they drafted Anton Exum, they got so many steals at the draft last year due to injury. If he would have come out a year before, he would have been a second-round draft pick. If he wouldn't have been injured, he would have been a second-round draft pick. We got him on, the fifth or sixth round?
I think so.
I like him a lot.
God, he can hit. Oh, man, can he come up and hit. I don't know who he tagged.
So make him the
Buffalo Bills,
the strong safety. Move Harrison Smith back to the free safety position. Anderson Dejo, though, when he came into play last year, Anderson Dejo and Robert Blanton, not bad backups.
I mean, they're head knockers. I mean, Blanton will come up and hit you, led the team in tackles. And Zendejo, same thing. He's an ace on special teams. He also catches a really nice swing pass on a fake punt and advances the football. So you do have that as well. But that's kind of the breakdown. And that will continue, and that list will change every single day.
Oh, for sure. Randy Gregory dropping like a bat out of hell because a guy cannot drop the dope.
He won't put down the dope. You're right. I've had that talk with him.
Danny Shelton, that defensive tackle, though, that you said you'd stop being a Minnesota
Washington?
Viking if the Vikings drafted him in the first round. You said, that's it. If they draft a defensive tackle, I'm throwing away my Vikings gear and I'm never going to follow the team again.
Correct.
He's rising like crazy.
Yeah. But my gosh, I mean, that's not a need, is it?
I don't know.
He's
a long-term anchor
great
for
football
a three-man
player.
Front. He's a beast.
You gotta plug a hole, though.
Yeah, we don't need him at defensive tackle.
I mean, I'm sure he's a great player.
But what about taking the best player available? What if he's the best player available?
Well, that if you're looking at it that way, then
next time we talk,
I'm a player of need.
Dane Brugler, yeah, I know you are. Next time we talk to Dane Brugler, we got to ask about Eric Kendricks.
Well,
okay.
We're gonna keep calling him as we move into the draft. The draft, but Chris Shad,
you ready for this? Real quick, breaking news: Dolphins have agreed to a contract with a former Minnesota Vikings quarterback. Any idea who it is?
It's Tavares.
No. Josh Freeman, everybody.
Oh.
Signs with Miami.
Oh, wow. Let's take a little break. Cold Omaha next.
People ask what Omaha means. It's a run play. but it could be a pass play.
Come on here to win. I think that it's very important to lay that out there right from the start. Things can change in this game very dramatically at this level, very quickly. I think we're going to have a way of going forward that is going to enable that to be something that's positive, that enables whatever roster we put together to be the best that it can be.
That's well put. Paul Molitor, he's not on anyone else's timetable. He's on his own, and he wants to see things pick up and move along quickly. Not this inching along thing, 1, 2, 3 games after all these moves made. I don't think that's what he's talking about when you hear him say the things he just said. We welcome now to the show Chris Shad from Cold Omaha, one of the writers here at 105 The Ticket. Your assessment of Paul Molitor thus far as a new skipper here with the Minnesota Twins?
My initial assessment of Molitor is that he's not Ron Gardenhire.
Thank God.
I think that I think that for many years the team felt complacent with Ron Gardenhire. He was kind of he was like a youth coach, I would say. Because you know when you were playing little league baseball and you know you'd strike out and you'd go back to the dugout with your head down and be, "All right, well, put a smile on that face."
Here's a cupcake.
I don't think Paul Molitor is going to do that.
Thank God. Here's a cupcake. What do you call him? Joe Mauer. Oh, you have bilateral leg weakness? Oh, here's a little cupcake with a cherry on top. You're going to be okay there, little ooshky-booshky. It drove me insane. I mean, I like Ron Gardenhire as a guy. He was a very great manager for the Twins, won several AL Central championships, and had a really great run there. But just losing 4 years in a row, 90-plus losses 4 years in a row, and being all cutesy about it just drove me absolutely insane. And I like what you say in your article at 105theticket.com, Chris, that completely different. In fact, the name of your article, Paul Molitor taking Minnesota nice out of the clubhouse. This is baseball. We're going to do things right. We're going to play right. We're going to run the bases cleanly. We're going to play Minnesota Twins baseball. The little things are not necessarily hitting home runs or being a power team. We're going to pitch well. We're going to play defense. And we're going to, bat people around, play small ball, whatever it takes to win the ball games. But we're going to do it, and we're going to do it to the best of our ability, which it doesn't seem that Ryan Gardenhire had that for the last couple of years. He was just kind of, whatever. What's the nickname for so-and-so? Or that would drive me absolutely insane.
Well, I mean, the thing is with Molitor and Gardenhire, as you mentioned, he was kind of a laid-back kind of guy, let the players be themselves, didn't really take himself too seriously. And I think Molitor wants a team that plays a lot like he did. I mean, Molitor could hit the ball far. He basically scratched and clawed his way into the Hall of Fame. I don't think there was a game he played where there wasn't dirt on his jersey before he got to the Twins and was a designated hitter. So I think that you look back at when the Twins were really successful and popular, and that was at the beginning of Ron Gardenhire's tenure back in the 2002 season. The Twins had just been threatened with contraction. And the Twins kind of had this whole screw you attitude and really took it out on the rest of baseball. And I don't think Molitor will be exactly screw you, but I think he's not going to tolerate losing. If the Twins lose 90 games, I think we're going to see a little bit more emotion out of the manager this year than last. And I think it's really going to help the team because this is a team that could definitely hover around 500, and I'll even go out on a limb and say if things go right and they can get Buxton and Sanoa up early, like say June, July, maybe even August, this team could contend for a wild card spot. I'll go on the table right now.
That's
huge.
Crazy talk, Chris.
That's big.
But it's 60 degrees out. I got the shandies in the fridge. I'm feeling very optimistic about things.
I was going to ask you a very important question, and that whatever you just said there completely threw me off because I am shocked that anybody would say that. I mean, I think that they have a good chance of, I don't think they're going to lose 90 games. I don't think that they, they may hover around 500. There has to be a bunch of improvements, so many what ifs and unknowns. But what I was going to say, what I want to see this season is Paul Molitor to call Joe Mauer out on the rug and have some sort. I mean, if they punch each other in the dugout, that would be awesome. Just holding Joe Mauer's feet to the fire and saying, dude, we're paying you $23 million. This isn't a cakewalk anymore. I'm not going to call you JoJo. I'm not going to be light on you being the face of the franchise like Ron Gardenhire was. I'm going to hold you to standards that everybody in Minnesota has for you, which is a high standard. You grew up here. You're the face of the franchise. You're the Twin Cities' beloved son. We expect more from you, and to hold him to that.
He needs to be pushed. I think that a lot of people on this team need to be pushed, and I think the young guys are kind of they're already pushing themselves because they need to make an impact. I mean, guys like Kenny Vargas and Danny Santana haven't done much at the major league level. Yeah, they had a great first season, but you know, there's a lot of guys. Morgan Esbert had a big first season, if you remember him with the Astros. They need to push themselves. But a guy like Mauer, a veteran who kind of was like Gardenhire, who looks a lot like he, you know, doesn't care and just kind of, you know. I think that Mauer and Molitor, that relationship's going to be really interesting, because if Molitor does push Mauer, it'll be interesting to see if he can live up to his potential and the expectations that Minnesotans are placing on him.
I wonder what that would be, too. I mean, Molitor can say anything he wants to him. He's already been there. He's done that. He's at the high. He resides in the Hall of Fame with his name and his career. Mauer is very good. He's been very good, but he won't, it still is left to be seen whether or not he would go into the Hall of Fame. But Mauer would certainly have to respect and listen to Molitor.
I would think so. It's kiss the ring, because Molitor has a World Series ring and Joe Mauer doesn't right now. Yeah. And I think a lot of the people in that clubhouse realize that.
And he's also in the Hall of Fame, and Joe Mauer would like to get there someday. And Chris Shad, interesting question that's going to come out of left field here. Joe Mauer, is he a future Hall of Famer? If he was a catcher, he would be. But now that he's moved to first base and has had, you know, a couple of years where he's batted under 300 and just isn't the same Joe Mauer that we know and love, does he make the Hall of Fame?
He's 32 right now. First catcher to win an AL batting title since 1918 or whatever it was. It's tough. He needs to have a couple good seasons here. He needs to start hitting. If he has productive seasons, because he's 32 right now, he'd say maybe 6, 7, 8 seasons left. I think if that production picks back up to kind of where he was as a catcher at the beginning of his career, so he's not the slam dunk he was when he was behind the plate. But I think that especially if he gets a ring, I think that, yeah, he will
get
a
ring?
Hall of Famer.
How is he going to get a ring? How is he going to get a ring?
Bill Mauer, you know what? I think the Twins, look at what he's got around him. I mean, the last couple of years, Mauer hasn't had anybody around him. He was batting around Tsuyoshi Nishioka. And you look at the supporting cast that's coming up. They have pitching coming up. They have Cole Stewart, Barrios. They have hitters that are starting to round up. I mean, when you have Buxton and Sano around you, it's a lot easier than hitting around Nishioka and Plouffe. I mean, I think that is the quality around Mauer will improve, and I think that there's a chance. There's always a chance. It's baseball. You can't predict baseball, because teams like the Kansas City Royals are going to rise from the bottom of the division and contend for World Series titles. I mean, it's crazy, especially in this day and age, how quick one team can go from absolute crap to World Series contenders and the other way around.
Twins did it twice, 87-91, worst to first. Here we come. Let's go.
I never would put it out.
Us?
Yeah, why not? And why not this outfit? I mean, if they move some of these younger guys up, certainly from now until Mauer is done, they might have a chance. Who knows? I mean, they might actually have a chance. If the skipper runs the kind of ship that we think he's going to, and those guys do make it up here eventually, and we've talked about that endlessly. But if they have a nice stay and Joe Mauer comes around, there's no reason why we couldn't still pull something off like that. If we have those two kinds of players that we have coming up in Buxton and Sano. But I would say Molitor's one of the biggest parts of this thing too. That's a big piece of this puzzle. Yeah. So it's attitude, and it's the kind of discipline that they may or may not have had. And I just don't think it's been around for a long time. Sometimes I think managers get comfortable in their ways of doing things. Any coach, they get comfortable. And then you have a room that doesn't buy any lines anymore. They don't listen. And you lose games. So that's where I'm at on that one.
Thanks for speaking your mind. I appreciate it.
Chris?
I would call it a Lloyd Christmas chant that the Twins would get a World Series.
So you're telling me I got a chance.
Woo! Yes, indeed. And I think that we probably do have a chance. Then that's all it is. It's slim and none. Chris Shad from Cold Omaha, thank you very much, sir.
You bet. Thank you, guys.
You did great work. Take care.
You don't think that we're ever going to have a World Series chance with Joe Mauer on the team?
No. Bad chance. Nope. He's not a winner.
Well, I said with him on the team. How about the other guys?
With the other guys on the team? Do I think the Minnesota Twins could win a World Championship at some point with any other guy on the team? Sure.
But minus Mauer, you would have to have him out of it before that scenario would work. You can't win a World Series with Joe Mauer?
No, you can win a World Series with Joe Mauer. He cannot lead us to a World Series. He's not a leader.
That.
He's a follower.
So the two or three other pieces to the puzzle that we still talk about all the time, does that make the difference?
Yeah, I think so.
That can do it.
Mm-hmm. I think if you have Mike Trout and Bryce Harper on the team, which is what people are calling Miguel Sano and Byron Buxton, which is a little premature in my opinion. They haven't even played in the major leagues yet. But if they do turn out to be Mike Trout and Bryce Harper, then yes. Especially with pitching, what's his nuts?
Alex Meyer?
No.
I thought you were talking about somebody else that might be coming up in the ranks.
It's Basario or Barrio or something like that. I'm not really sure what his name is. Jose Barreas, I think is what his name is.
Okay. Oh, absolutely.
He's pretty good, too.
Exactly.
And then, there were so many baseball players. Another guy, and the name is I'm drawing a blank, and I know our boss is in the car yelling at the radio. Cole Stewart.
We just mentioned him. A lot of
great young pitchers coming up and fielders. I mean, they've got the Minnesota Twins in the minor league system have the total package. It's just waiting for it just sucks.
It does.
You have to wait if you want the full fruition of the prize.
Imagine how long it took us to get Mauer up here.
Not very long.
It took about 3 years, didn't it? Down in Florida. He was down in Florida for at least 2 years.
Okay, it was quick. 2 years is quick.
Well,
Mauer was up here quick.
It was Joe Mauer.
You're Joe Mauer.
Come on. Okay, we're going to do this. We're going to talk about some Vikings football, okay? Let's just talk Vikings. Let's get off this other stuff. We've talked draft. We've talked everything else. But let's talk about the depth chart. Where do we stand now? Offensively, we'll come back and we'll talk defensively. And we'll grind this thing out. We'll just grind it out. And we'll find out what we do and what we don't have. Fill in the blanks. Next. On Radioactive Sports.
From the locker room to your radio.
This franchise is petty. This is his team now.
This is everyone's franchise. This is the Vikings franchise. And I'm the quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings. This is as much as Vlad Dukas' franchise. Jabari Price, talk about Jared McKinnon. You know, all of us play a role, and you know, that's what makes the team great. So we're just going to look at it that way.
No longer Vlad Dukas' franchise. He go bye-bye.
You know, Vlad was a great player, and we somehow let him off the hook and didn't get him inked again.
Unbelievable. With the free agent signings, Minnesota Vikings going on a rampage here as of late, signing the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th tier guys. Quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater, the starter, obviously, Sean Hill, signed him to back up. Mike Kafka, they signed yesterday to be the third stringer.
Pat Devlin gone today, though.
Yeah. And then probably a late-round draft pick to come in is what Mike Zimmer has gone on record to say, that he would like to get a late-round arm in the draft.
Oh, Garrett Grayson.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Running back Adrian Peterson, Jerick McKinnon, Matt Asiata.
I'll tell you what, if Adrian Peterson's back, I mean, we're in business then. I mean, if we actually get him in uniform again, that's a pretty special team. I don't care how you look at it.
He's going to be a Minnesota Viking unless somebody blows them away with the trade package. Mark my words.
I don't see it happening where he actually comes back. But I do want him back. I hope that it works out for him. It probably will be difficult to be in that locker room. But if we have him back in the backfield, we're in pretty good shape.
Only because he's the one being the biatch. Fullback, Zach Lyne. They don't really. Turner doesn't really use fullbacks.
Yeah, I know it, and that's why.
Wide receiver, split end, Charles Johnson, flanker, Mike Wallace, slot, Jarius Wright, with the backups being Cordarrelle Patterson, can play really any of them. Backup split end, Adam Thielen, backup slot, Kane Coulter. Like to see some added depth there.
Yeah, I mean, Thielen, I think, provides, I think, pretty good depth. I mean, I think he's one of those guys that can hang out in your locker room and play special teams. I've seen him on special teams do some really cool things, too. But he's our Chris Walsh, who I played with. I think we're in much, much, much better shape than we were 5 years ago when, I mean, it was dismal. Mm. It really was before Favre got here.
Yeah. Tight end Kyle Rudolph, H-back Rhett Ellison, backups Chase Ford and Brandon Bostic.
No trouble. That's a pretty good outfit. I mean, Rhett has really become that guy that leads the back the best. Rhett Ellison is as good a blocking guy as they've got now. Now I would put him in there any day.
Offensive lineman, left tackle Matt Khalil, left guard David Yankee. There's just nobody else. He was drafted in the fifth round last year.
Yeah, there's no one else.
The Vikings still have to fill out that left guard spot. David Yankee, so far right now, the only left guard other than Joe Berger, who could start at that left guard spot, didn't play it down last year. Center John Sullivan, right guard Brendan Fusco, returning from injury. Same goes for right tackle Phil Loadholt. The backups, obviously, Joe Berger, Michael Harris, Babatunde Ayagbusi.
What about Wentworth?
Austin Wentworth, Tiny Richardson, Carter Bukowski.
Got a few of them. I like our offensive line, and I only like it. I don't love it. And we've always been really spoiled with great offensive lines around this place. And this is not exactly the best offensive line. John Sullivan, good, good football player. Fusco, too bad what happened last year, because I think he was right there. He was right there, ready to have the kind of year that could possibly, you know, match what Sullivan's doing. Loadholt, I like him a lot. I love when he's playing and he's on his game. He did so much work last year. I saw him down in training camp and had a chance to talk to him. He got himself back in really good shape, like he was at Oklahoma State when he came out.
Why not sign a guy like Steven Wisniewski? He visited the Packers a day ago.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Connolly, he's a guard. He's still available.
Still there.
Evan Mathis, I believe, is being shot by the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, he is. And he's a player. He's got the credentials, too. I would love any of those guys you just mentioned.
It's so important.
It's a crapshoot.
It's so important, though, to have a great offensive line, especially with a rookie Teddy, or a sophomore now, Teddy Bridgewater, to keep him on his feet, because he was just used and abused and destroyed last year until he figured to run for his life.
He really was. I felt bad for him, trying to learn all that and trying to... He took all the blame. Anytime something went wrong, he took the blame for it. You can't find a classier kid than Bridgewater, but we've got to keep him up and keep him clean. So I hope that they can find someone at left guard. That's all I can say. And Khalil, come on. You got to get back on the field and start playing ball. That's all there is to it. I only like it. If Khalil plays like he did his rookie year, then you have Sullivan, Fusco, and Loadholt. I like that. But, man, you have to hit a home run. You have to hit a home run for that left guard.
Yeah.
You really do. It'll leak like a sieve if you don't. Bottom line. And I kind of like everything that we just talked about, including the tight end. If Rudolph stays healthy, Chase Ford is, I mean, Rhett Ellison, he can play tight end as well. So we're in pretty good shape. Love Sean Hill as a backup. Come on back. We'll do the defense next.
Hey, I'll start for the team. You know, I can go out there and do it myself. We've been playing well. We're second league in sacks, and we just got to keep it coming, you know. You can't do it all by yourself. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I'm happy with the award, and, you know, it's time to get back to work, you know, and just make me more hungrier.
I know what you're thinking.
Yeah. That's what you have to be. You have to find a way to be more hungrier.
At least you didn't talk like this. I feel like that's getting better for every single Griffin or guy.
I bet he'd even be good on the hungrier game.
Makes me more hungrier.
He'd be very competitive there as well. But what did he end up with? 12 sacks?
No, he's a beast.
He's a monster.
Yeah.
He's an absolute monster. He really is.
Running down the depth chart for the Minnesota Vikings, as it states,
we
after
covered that one.
The free agency, the period, basically has kind of died down, though the Minnesota Vikings making a flurry of free agent moves in the last couple of weeks, signing old guys like Terrence Newman, cornerback, Mike Kafka, fourth-round draft pick a couple of years ago. Third-string quarterback, but we're running down the depth chart of the Minnesota Viking defense. Here we go. Right end, Everson Griffin backed up by Scott Crichton. Any problems there? Any moves
whatsoever.
Need to be made?
I'd like to be able to see something from Crichton. Mm-hmm. I don't know what he's about. They talked big about him. He was our third-round draft choice last season. Really one of the only names that didn't kind of show up of the draft choices.
Left end.
But hey, What's that?
Left end?
Yeah. I can see it happening.
Brian Robinson, Justin Tretel. Left end.
I don't know Justin, but I do know that left end, Brian Robinson's a monster as well. He's a monster. He had a down year, though, and I think he would admit that.
He doesn't admit that.
He did a couple games. He came flat out and said it, which I salute him because he doesn't hide. He's a lot like Jared Allen. I mean, he'll tell you the truth. He'll just be bold and blunt about it and just say kind of where he is. But I've had a chance to talk with him. He's a great guy, but at the same time, he got paid. I think he had a four-year deal last time, $28 million.
Massive deal. When they signed it, I said, I don't think that he was worth all that money, but then I remember you and Bob arguing with me saying that it's the going rate for a defensive end, and I just don't think that he's of that caliber, in my opinion. And I also think, I don't know if you're, I do know, you're a Bible guy. Samson should have never...
I'm a Bible guy.
Should have never cut off his hair. Samson. Brian Robinson cut off his hair, there goes all
his power. I like that ponytail. I really did, man. That was him. That was his deal.
The three technique, defensive tackle. Sharif Floyd backed up by Tom Johnson. Any problems there?
None. I wish Sharif could stay healthy. I really do, because he honestly showed me last year that he could play it. I mean, he is lightning fast off the football. He's got a feather trigger. When that ball moves, I mean, Floyd is jumping in that gap, and he's all over the place. He's a playmaker. But Tom Johnson... He did stay healthy, and he made 6.5 sacks. Thank you very much.
Remember what we were saying, and most people were saying, about Sharif Floyd after his rookie year, where he barely played at all?
Right, correct.
People are saying the same thing about Scott Crichton and David Yankee because they haven't seen either of those guys play. They didn't play. Scott Crichton, a third-round draft pick. David Yankee, a fifth-round draft pick. But then Sharif Floyd came on pretty strong in his sophomore year. Who's to say the same thing's not going to happen with Crichton or Yankee?
It very well could. It's a good point you make. Because it does take guys... certain people, individuals, more time to get all that in and to grasp it and then to go out and perform well. Some guys have it, but they can't apply it on the field yet. You know, they know it out of the book. They could draw it up on the board all day for you. But you get out there and it's happening on the fly, and they can't play fluently until they do it long enough.
Does it have anything to do with the fact that they, because of the NFL rules, and they played in the Pac-10, that they couldn't make it for those mandatory mini camps, those OTAs?
It doesn't help to be put behind like
that. But Anthony Barr missed the same amount of time, and yet he was the starting linebacker. Sam linebacker.
I mean, there are just a few guys that come down the pike that can be as athletic at that size. Mm-hmm. I mean, at both sides of the ball, too. I mean, he could play offense. He could easily line up a tight end.
Nose tackle, defensive tackle, Linval Joseph backed up by Shamar Stephen.
Stefan is supposed to be the real deal, and that's what
he was pretty good last year.
Andre Patterson, the defensive line coach, tells me that he is something, and he will have a combination platter for you with him and Linval Joseph. But Stefan, if it's pronounced that way, or Stephen, Shamar Stephen, or Stefan, he's real. I guess he's something else. So
he played pretty well.
More about him. More about him later. But I mean, he's.
I like him.
That's a guy that the defensive line coach talks to me about.
Sam linebacker Anthony Barr backed up by Casey Matthews. Would he play the Sam?
No.
Where would he play?
Middle.
Casey Matthews, a middle linebacker.
I think so.
Mm.
Isn't that what he did with Green Bay when he was ever in?
No, he doesn't play for Green Bay. We're talking Casey Matthews, Philadelphia Eagles.
Wait. He came in from the Eagles?
Yeah.
You know what? What am I thinking about?
I think you're thinking about A.J. Hawk.
That's exactly what it was. Yeah. But Matthews' brother, obviously. And trust me, I know the difference. I thought he played middle for the Eagles a little bit.
No, I think he played majority. Well, did he play middle?
I know he was a special teamer. That's what he was. But I thought he lined up in the middle. And in fact, on the depth chart, they got him in middle.
Okay.
Because Jasper Brinkley's gone.
They have him as the starting middle linebacker, Casey Matthews.
I have a Cole.
Who does? What?
Yeah.
Audie Cole is the starting middle linebacker, backed up by Michael Mowdy and, I guess, Casey Matthews.
Correct. That's what it shows.
Audie Cole should be the starting middle linebacker as if the roster started today.
If they put him behind that, if they put Cole behind him, I would be so pissed.
But at the same time, don't you trust Mike Zimmer?
Of course I do. Yeah. Absolutely. There's a reason why Cole is not
the best player will play.
I just don't know why he shows up in games. Like the last game of the season, I forget who did he play. He had 13 tackles.
Yeah. The first 5 minutes.
Unbelievable. He's everywhere.
Will linebacker Chad Greenway, Gerald Hodges.
That's a great 1-2 punch. A nice 1-2.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's the only spot in the linebacker position that I'm absolutely happy with, the starter and the backup. Cornerback, Xavier Rhodes, Captain Munnerlin, Josh Robinson, Terrence Newman, Marcus Shirelles, and Jabari Price.
I mean, they're one short.
Trey Wade.
Yeah, they're one short. But I like Terrence Newman.
Get up.
You know, I don't know what he's got left in the tank at 36. I really don't know if he's got anything left, but we'll find out. He's got, I mean, Zimmer wouldn't have had him in. I'm like you. If Zimmer wants him here, I like him.
And then finally, the safety position. Minnesota Vikings as we're running down the depth charts before the draft. Harrison Smith starting, which probably will be free safety, would be my guess, backed up by Andrew Sandejo. Strong safety, Anton Exum and Robert Blanton.
Some roughnecks.
I mean, I'd be okay if we didn't. I mean, out of any, besides the defensive line, the linebackers and the cornerbacks, I think, need a little bit of help. But safety, as much as I would like to add a safety or a thumper, I'm okay with what the Minnesota Vikings have in those players.
I am too. I really think they're close. I mean, really, if you look at it the way we all need to, is this is all just on paper. But if you have Adrian Peterson in your backfield, that's going to make a world of difference. That's what I think. And also Brandon Watts. I wanted to bring his name up, too.
Oh, Brandon Watts. Because
that kid,
how did I forget him?
That's another one of those guys from the draft last year from Georgia Tech. I liked that kid. I loved him in practice.
Where does he play? Where would you say? Would he be
an outside guy?
Would he be Anthony Barr's backup?
One of the outsides, the linebackers.
Does it matter, Sam or Will?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you want to line, if you put him over the tight end, he's a Sam. Mm. And if you play him off, then off the weak side, then he's a Will. I don't know what he does well. I really don't, but I know that he can play. He's flashed on the field, on the practice field. I was down there all last summer. He was making some plays. Let's put it that way. He looks like Wilbur Marshall, by the way.
Oh,
the old Chicago
guy.
Bears, the old Washington. He's made just like that guy. Anyway, take a little break. Come on back. We've got the top five quarterback situations in the National Football League.
Oh.
We're going to break that down. Who's got the best 1-2 punch right now, as seen by my sources? So let that be a lesson to you. Come on. So anyway, here's how it goes.
Okay.
Number one, it's Mike's break.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, AC/DC.
Mm-hmm.
Little Brian Johnson. This came out right after Bon Scott died.
He's dead?
Brian Johnson's got about $10 jillion. He bought every race car he could get his hands on, by the way. He loves cars. The best five quarterback situations in the NFL,
sure.
I bet you can't get the top five. The 1-2 punches
Come
is what
on.
I'm talking about. The starter backup. Let's just see how many my co-host, Ben Holson, can name. And I would dare you to probably know the backups' names in many cases.
Oh, my God, that's not going to be good. I would say New England Patriots, Tom Brady, and Big Issue Shukashashki, Garoppolo, Teddy Garoppolo. Or what's his nuts?
Jimmy Garoppolo, I believe so, yes. So that's one. You have to go with, obviously, a very good starter.
Mm-hmm.
That would give you a good hint.
I would say Andrew Luck and Matt Hasselbeck, Indianapolis Colts.
You've looked them up.
No, I have not.
But I do know that that makes sense because, obviously, you've named two, if not the two, best quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah.
That was your first two out of the chute.
Yeah. Certainly not going to be the Oakland Raiders with Derek Carr and Christian Ponder. Probably not going to be the Denver Broncos with Brock Osweiler.
It is? Yeah. Osweiler, I think his name is. Peyton Manning still.
Really?
Putting up the big numbers.
I don't know that. I
think it's Osweiler.
Yeah.
Big, tall guy. Huge kid.
So I've got three out of the five.
Well, you said not Denver, but it was Denver.
Shut up.
So I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
Okay, you're three out of three.
Whew. I would say, and this is going to sound ludicrous, and I should probably be kicked off the radio for saying this.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to say it. But
give it a shot. You can't get hurt on it. I would not get. I wouldn't get five. I wouldn't get all five. No way.
Huh?
There's no way I would get all five of these. And backups. I would get
because
probably.
Obviously Aaron Rodgers is one of the best quarterbacks in the league, but mm-hmm. backup.
I think they went back and got their guy.
Who?
Matt
Flynn?
I think they re-signed him. No, it's not on the list.
Of course he's not on the list.
Well, that's good of you then. So you weeded that out.
Yeah.
How nice of you.
I'm going to weed out Pittsburgh. Ben Roethlisberger. Have no idea who the backup is.
Well, he's in.
What?
His name is Gradkowski.
Oh, Brad Gradkowski?
And he's a pretty good player. I think Bruce.
Bruce Gradkowski.
Yeah.
Is he on the list?
Yeah, they are.
Oh,
those two
dang.
Are. Yeah, that's a really pretty good one, too.
Yeah.
One to go.
Wouldn't be Andy Dalton because who's his backup? Tony Campbell or something like that?
I think he is. The former Washington, Oakland, everybody quarterback. But that's not there because, quite frankly, Andy
Joe
Dalton.
Flacco,
no.
Johnny Manziel, no. Geno Smith, no. Ryan Tannehill. Who's the backup down there?
Yeah, exactly.
Is he on the list?
Yeah.
Wow, that's the fifth one?
I can't believe it, yeah.
That's the fifth one. Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
Who's a backup in Miami?
Well, I asked you, actually. I gave you
Matt
a hint.
Moore?
Matt Moore, yeah.
But
I don't
did
think
he resign?
Signed him. I don't think so. This is a really recent list, though. I mean, I don't know.
Hmm. What about...
I think that's... I'm not so... Listen to Ludacris.
Ludacris?
Bridgewater. Sean Hill? Can you say that?
I like him, but at the same time, sophomore slump is a good possibility. Yeah, you have no idea.
You never know what you got. You really don't have any idea. What's going on in Houston now? Who signed a board with Houston? Someone big.
Ryan Mallett and big.
No, I thought there was a name that went down there.
Somebody big?
Well.
It wasn't big.
I think it was an upgrade from what they did last year.
Yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick last year, which wasn't bad. I mean, look where they're drafting.
He went somewhere. Didn't he go somewhere else, though?
Yeah.
Jets, nothing. Titans, nothing. Who backs up Russell Wilson? Is it Tavares?
It was Tavares. It's a free agent, though.
Well, you know, the Cardinals had behind Carson Palmer, I mean, a couple of the guys that they had to go to were actually playing pretty good with the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, until they got down to Ryan Lindley.
Which is like their fourth guy.
It was a pretty decent draft pick.
I mean, it wasn't bad.
What's going on?
What the hell's going on in San Francisco after Kaepernick?
Blaine Gabbert. Not kidding.
Next question.
I'm not kidding.
Alrighty then. The Bucks. Ew. Chicago. Ew. I mean, Cutler, then who? God, it used to be McCown. That was actually a pretty good 1-2 punch. Washington, the Redskins, RG3. Who?
Marcus Mariota, soon to be joining that group.
Oh, you will be.
No.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's Eli Manning, the worst starter in the league. Backed up by nobody knows. Cam Newton.
Yuck.
Matt Ryan.
Tony Romo.
Drew Brees. What about Jameis Winston and Mike Glennon, everybody?
Jameis Winston to Mike Evans. Touchdown. Get used to it. I can't see that happening. Do you think that they'll actually pick him?
Yep.
I mean, everything says yes. Do you really think when it comes, push comes to shove, they're going to go with a kid like that?
That'll be the shocker of the draft if they don't do it.
I've seen it happen once.
I've seen
it happen a couple times.
NFL Network was talking about all the quarterbacks that have sat there and rotted in the first round, being Brady Quinn, Aaron Rodgers, What's-His-Nuts was doing it last year, Dopey Dope.
Manziel.
You know what I'm talking about.
Johnny Football.
Yeah.
How about when, I think the Colts were up, everybody thought it was going to be
Ricky Williams,
and it was Edgerrin James. How about that one?
That was stupid.
Then there was, the absolute slam dunk, Reggie Bush. Nope. Mario. Straight to the Texans. Oh, yeah. Remember Charlie Casserly? Mario Williams. And everyone said, you're crazy. You just let Bush walk out.
Chris Mortensen of ESPN, we were talking about quarterbacks here, reporting that the Browns are fed up with Manziel, set to give up on him. He said, the Browns are close to giving up on Johnny Manziel. That runs contrary to team's public stance. I think 90% of the Browns have moved on from Manziel in their own minds, except that they really don't know who they're going to get when Johnny leaves rehab.
I thought he's already out.
No, he's still there.
No, he checked out.
No.
I heard where he checked out.
I know. It was a fake report. He's still there.
Yeah.
He should be getting out the first week of April if they're satisfied that he's ready to go.
He's ready to come out now.
Get into society and whatever deep-rooted problems that have been addressed. Okay, now he's part of your depth chart. You have Josh McCown. Does that mean Cleveland will take one more shot at trading for new Eagles quarterback Sam Bradford, who reports are saying that they have offered a first-round draft pick. The second of their first-round draft picks, I'm going to say 19.
That's insane.
For Sam Bradford. But the Browns are idiots. I think the Browns, this is from Mary K. Kabat. says, I think the Browns are fully prepared to start McCown this year, which, why not? They paid him a decent amount of money, but they will continue to look for chances to upgrade the position. I think they'll try to trade up to draft Marcus Mariota, and I also think they could make another draft day.
Where did Hoyer end up? Texans?
That's who, yeah.
That's who it was.
Yeah.
It was a decent signing then. I thought that was, it's not a big name, though.
It's a big name.
Oh, I think he's probably better than most people think, but he was stuck in Cleveland. Actually, he's had some decent days.
What would you say is the worst franchise in the NFL?
I don't know. That's a tough question. Should we come back and answer? I have to think about that because there are some things that, I mean, I think Jacksonville is pathetic. I think Oakland is pathetic. I just think they're horrible. Jacksonville's horrible, man. You come up with Cleveland's right there, but they find ways to win a lot of games, though. Yeah. I think they were 7-9 last year.
Yeah.
The Cleveland Browns. But let's take a little break and come on back and wrap up the show. We've got the sillier side of sports. Am I correct? And then we have, everybody back up a little bit.
No, you're right. Let's do this.
There's no way. We'll do that.
Sillier side of sports.
And then we'll wrap it up.
Yeah, you'll take it home with the true superstar.
Let's do that next.
The sillier side of things here, Superstar, as if the entire show we do every afternoon from 4 to 7 right here on Sports Radio 105. The Ticket isn't a little goofy already. We break it down.
Yeah, it can be pretty ignorant.
Not ignorant. You want to talk about ignorant, you talk about Colin Cowherd. That guy's a complete douchebag. You know what he's been saying the last couple of days?
No, I hate him. Trust me.
What an absolute blowhard. Colin Cowherd, known for his controversial hot takes, except he speaks out of his rear end like Jim Carrey did on, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective?
Yeah, exactly.
Less than 2 weeks ago, this douchebag said he liked Oregon because it's mostly white people. How can he still be on the air after saying that?
He's the biggest smartass. He's smartass me from time to time in my radio career. I used to help him out and do an interview with him from time to time when he wasn't so frickin' full of himself. Hung up on little Colin Cowherd. He's a douchebag. He's a slap ass.
He got into it with, what's his nuts? The guy from NBC, Dan Patrick, saying he works harder than Dan Patrick does and this and that. He's always saying, look at me or look what they don't do. Look at... Anyway, today, he really went overboard when he said... here's what he said. His radio show this morning, he said he does not watch wrestling because he likes lady parts and stuff.
Yeah, I doubt. He said, I really don't. He doesn't understand what he's even saying and what that implies. That's how dumb he is.
He also said that he doesn't play rotisserie baseball because he likes lady parts.
Okay. You're a big tough guy.
He kept going on to say lady parts. I don't like this because I like lady parts. I don't like that because I like lady parts.
Yeah, okay.
Colin Cowherd, and he also said he doesn't watch wrestling because he's not gay.
You're a man's man. You're a man's man.
What a talker, Colin Cowherd.
You're a rugged dude, man.
Way to go out there on a limb.
I want to join your Cowherd nation. And out in, you know what a Cowherd leaves behind? Just a ton of manure. A whole herd of cows.
He's a piece of manure.
What a slap ass. Hey, Mike, want to join the show? About a week after he just rips on me. No, I don't think so, jackass. I told him that.
This is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Nothing to do with sports, but Tito and Amanda Watts were arrested over the weekend for selling golden tickets to heaven to hundreds of people.
This guy left.
The couple, who sold the tickets on the street for $99.99 per ticket, told buyers that the tickets were made from solid gold and each ticket reserved the buyer a spot in heaven. Simply present the ticket at the pearly gates and you're in. It's so easy. So easy, so simple. Just $99.99, one easy payment. Cash, please. Tino Watt said in his police statement, quote, I don't care what the police say. The tickets are solid gold. It ain't cut up 2x4s. I spray painted gold, and it was Jesus who gave them to me behind the KFC and told me to sell them so I could get some money to go to outer space. I met an alien named Stevie who said if I got the cash together, he'd take me and my wife on his flying saucer to a planet that's made entirely of crack cocaine. You can smoke all the crack cocaine there if you want, totally free. So try to send an innocent man to jail and see what happens. You should arrest Jesus because he's the one that gave me the golden tickets and told me to sell them. I'm willing to wear a wiretap and set Jesus up, he said. Amanda Watts, the wife, said in her police statement, We just wanted to leave Earth and go to space and smoke some rock cocaine. I didn't do nothing.
God.
Tito said the golden tickets to, sold the golden tickets to heaven. I just watched.
What the hell is wrong with people? What's
wrong
with them?
With sports, but I had to tell you because
that's
that
crazy.
Is one of the fun. That's crazy. That's pure crazy.
Man, you're crazy. Man, I've been all around the world. I haven't heard one of them. It's crazy. It's crazy what it is. I don't know about people. I would take a pair of tickets, though, just to get you and I. Make sure you and I can get there. Yeah,
I did
it ain't
going to
happen.
That was... Computers are screwed up around here right now. Deion Sanders, senior. He has a junior,
senior.
By the way.
Oh.
Deion Sanders, senior, is officially the old dad now. He went on Twitter and decided to tell his son to stop fronting for the timeline. He reminded young Deion Jr. that he's always been rich and that he isn't really from the hood. Deion Sanders Jr. said, gotta get the hood donuts almost every morning. If my donuts don't come in a plain white box, I ain't eating them. Deion Sanders, the NFL Hall of Famer, said, Deion Sanders Jr., you're just a Huxtable with a $1 million trust fund. Stop the hood stuff. Hashtag truth.
Well, let's not let the truth be known. What's all this stuff about having to grow up the rough way? The tough way. That's why you made it. I mean, Deion Sanders has another totally different story about just his mother when he accepted, the Hall of Fame induction. His speech was very much, I thought it was a really good speech, actually.
Yeah.
Had a lot to do with his mother and how he made it out of there, and she had two jobs.
Wow.
And he swore that he was going to get out of there and go play football and take care of her, and he did do that. I don't know where this one comes from. I mean, it seems to be contradicting everything. So I'm guessing
when you're such a blowhard like Deion Sanders, how can your family, your children, your offspring not grow up to be blowhard douchebags like you are?
Well, yeah. I mean, my kids have a tough time. They're having a tough time trying not to be me.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anthony Bennett. Know him? He plays for the Timberwolves.
Sure do. He has a weight issue.
Yeah. Well, not really anymore. He's gotten skinny. But he's made some improvements since being drafted number one overall by the Cleveland Cavaliers. He's still not really where he needs to be. He drives me insane. The play I'm about to tell you about is the evident reason why the old Bennett and the reason why I don't have any hair after watching the Timberwolves and why I have to turn the games off quite often when he plays.
Yeah, what happened?
Last night, the Timberwolves only had eight healthy players. Bennett had the ball. Drove the lane strong, which he should have done,
of course.
He should always do instead of taking those long threes, which he does all the time. But last night, he actually drove the lane strong.
Be assertive.
Against the Toronto Raptors, then threw the basketball into the 15th row.
Did he practice that? Did someone tell him that's not where the ball goes?
I am not kidding. I'm trying to pull up the video here that we have to post on.
I didn't see it, so I'm trying to imagine what might have happened there.
I can't make it bigger.
Wait, did you lose the handle on it?
Look at Flip Saunders' reaction afterwards. So it's this little one down here, and I can't make it any bigger. But look at, so he's driving the lane, and then boom, there goes the ball. 15th rows up, and then Flip Saunders' reaction is like,
what the hell? What's he doing? Honestly,
Anthony Bennett.
Is it the no looker?
The Timberwolves are paying him $11 million because that's his rookie pay scale because he was taken number one overall. Cut the guy. Cut him.
I don't get that. I'm trying to figure this out.
Maybe, and I'm going to go out. I mean, I'm not even going to go on a limb here. I'm just going to say that Anthony Bennett is the worst number one overall draft pick in the history of the National Basketball Association. And there have been some doozies. Anthony Bennett does not deserve to be playing high school basketball right now for Hopkins.
I'm watching this thing over and over and over again. And who's he trying to pass? He's trying to pass it, isn't he?
Well, who's he trying to pass it to in the 15th row?
I know, but
stands?
I think he lost the handle. Well, he was trying to just palm it, and I think he lost it. I think it just came off his hand because he tried to slap it over.
But isn't
there.
Flip Saunders' reaction just priceless after
what
that?
His
arms
hell?
Are out, and Flip Saunders always has that furrow brow, and his arms are out, and he's just like, what the heck is that?
What are you doing? What are we paying you?
Flabbergasted.
Yeah, he can't believe it. Yeah, you might want to be a little more careful with the rock.
Unbelievable. Tomorrow, big show, Marsh Hallberg from Hallberg Criminal Defense.
Yeah, he's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, we'll talk about law and the segments and stuff like that at 4:45. Our guy Brandon Lang to talk about the NCAA March Madness tournament and which games to put your money on this weekend. We'll talk to him at 6:12.
Probably talk to him a little bit about that Wichita State team and Kentucky.
Yeah.
Remember
By the way, Shaka Khan, Shaka Smart.
Mm-hmm.
VCU coach?
Yeah.
Going to be leaving, it looks like.
Uh-oh, we wanted him in the worst way. I hope Patino goes.
Being offered unlimited free lap dances to stay at VCU. Also being offered unlimited free barbecue and apple fritters to stay in Richmond at VCU. I wouldn't turn that down. I like brisket and lap dances.
You know, it's the perks. It's the little perks. It's the little things that make a difference.
Join us tomorrow, would you please?
Incentive bonus.
To go.
Air Force Captain David Leon is my true superstar. 28. From Sandpoint, Idaho. Assigned to the 21st Logistics Readiness Squadron. Peterson Air Force Base, Colorado. Died December 27 in Kabul, Afghanistan from wounds caused by an improvised explosive device. It's always that. An improvised explosive device. And it has happened on this the very radio show and the one I did before this for 13 years. IEDs. Air Force Captain David Leon is my true superstar. Remember him in your hearts and prayers.